This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a beautiful Monday morning. The sun is out early. Well, not as early as the middle of summer.
Maybe in your life.
No, but it was. I mean, look, it's light outside.
You're on LSD. There's no bloody sun out there.
There's sun out there. It's just dim.
You're still slipping from Ultra.
I believe there was a trip to Ultra this weekend.
Tripping at Ultra.
It is overcast darkly. No, it's not. Bleary-eyed. Gareth's like seeing...
I got here earlier than you, and I saw it was pitch dark when I arrived, and it's much lighter now. That's not an inaccurate observation.
I think it's cloudy, though.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yes. We survived the weekend. Ben was in hazy view.
I'm going next month.
Amazing.
May.
Saw the wild animals in the wild. Uh-huh. Wild is the greatest thing ever. There's nothing jarring. There's nothing imperfect. It's just, there's no litter, minimal humans. It's just great. It's just a place where you can finally feel like good. And then there was this like 9-hole golf course where we were staying at, which was also amazing.
It would make you feel even more good because I know you.
What a day.
But now hold on. Did you stay at the Sabi River Sun?
No. Oh. See, because I thought that was the only 9-hole golf course around.
Yes,
no.
Kruger that's Park. Why I go every year. I have timeshare there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been there. It's great. Love it. But then the Kruger Park Lodge, even better 9-hole golf course, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, scary player design, obviously. Yeah. It's just so good. Wow. It was so good.
And you asked, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, I worked and worked and worked until I built myself a new arsehole. I really burnt the candle at both ends.
I didn't know you were in that field.
Oh, goodness.
Speaking of which, we will have Leanne's doctor cousin come in a little bit later
on. Her name is not Dr. Cousin, Gareth.
I know.
We'll nor is she Dr. Asshole.
No, we'll introduce her properly later on. Dr. Gabler. We'll talk about her, and she reconstructs people's broken assholes.
Which I think in babies specifically.
Oh, babies' assholes.
She's a specified Are you okay pediatric there? Surgeon.
Having a challenge.
I'm having a challenge.
Yeah.
So I went to Ultra Boot.
Is it?
So it ended up like this is the first time I've actually been to Ultra.
Yeah. I've never been.
It was hilarious. First of all, I saw your brother there, Ben.
Yeah,
he's arranging things and organizing things and getting shit done.
That's what
did you recognize him, Sia? You recognize him as Ben's brother?
Yeah.
So Sia was there.
I'm trying to say as little as possible.
Yeah, within a few moments of arriving, Sia was bouncing off the walls. I didn't arrive with him, but I saw him immediately. You know, as Sia tends to draw attention to himself.
Just a bit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
Let me put this disclaimer first. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to say anything. I'm having a challenge about Saturday.
No, but you seem to have had a lot of fun. When I left at, 2 a.m, you were still partying.
I was still there.
Yeah, Sia was going around from table to table, making friends with all the people in the mincing through the cheesery. I mean, it was great.
Look, it was my first Ultra experience, and I think Ultra is an extreme sport, folks. You need to go there prepared. I wouldn't even judge anyone who puts on a helmet, some knee pads, and is just getting ready for war. That was a lot.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I didn't have any expectations. I went with a bunch of friends. There were probably eight or ten of us. And we ended up having just the most awesome time. And there were plans of who would leave with who. I left with a bunch of people I didn't even know. And then got an Uber from where they were going. So it was probably a good way to get out of there. Because otherwise, you know, after Global Citizen, people don't want to be stuck at Nazareth.
Because this was like our first major event after Global Citizen. We've had like a few concerts here or there, but I'm thinking all it takes is one crazy freak. But really, to the team that put it together, they were so
there was security
efficient. And, there was security, there was a good flow of things.
There's no government involved, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's true.
But there are just tons of people there.
So
many interesting people.
Yeah, I saw a little write-up of Sears. And by the way, I had to wake up at 7:30 yesterday morning to go to a funeral.
Oh, gosh.
Which is, it's not the best way to spend your after-ultra morning. But you got to do these things, you know.
How was your head?
No, it was fine. I was okay. I made sure I was heavily hydrated the night before, and then I woke up and I had taken a Myprodol before I went to sleep, which usually helps.
Gareth doesn't get messy drunk like the tasks that throw themselves at him get.
Speaking of which, we saw two of the Bachelor's potential girlfriends.
Fabulous segue. You reminded me just before we went on air that we did speak to them. I remember, I think we saw Gina.
Yeah.
Gina, the front runner in my books. And I don't remember the other one.
The blonde girl. I'll show you a picture and you'll remember her. Anyway. Who? Yeah, we saw the two of them. And I said to them, because they're both on my list. If you get my list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you get my...
Well, then it must be something with a J.
Yeah.
The other one.
You're all the jizzes.
Yes.
Oh.
I think it must have been...
Jenna. Or Jazan? Yozan?
Could be one of those two. I don't know. What do I know?
So obviously,
were they together? Were they friends?
I don't know.
Were they hanging out? Yeah, obviously, they weren't hanging out with Lee. So
no, he wasn't there. But they were having a great
time.
He's
probably not allowed to go out until the end of May.
Yeah, he's like when Oscar was under house arrest.
He's probably
he's not allowed to leave.
WhatsApp.
I saw a bunch of cool people there that I haven't seen in a long time. I saw Fresh. Saw Euphonic.
Yes.
It was nice.
O'Neill was there.
You heard Fresh before you saw him.
No, he was super chilled. He was actually just sitting there at a table with a bunch of other people, and he was just very quiet and relaxed.
And he had an amazing set. I think you arrived afterwards, after his set, because he played relatively in the afternoon.
I arrived at about 6.
Played by then. That was really, really cool.
No, it was a fun party, and really, just thousands of people who come out every year to have fun in the sun and then into the night. It's just really cool. And lovely, lovely people. Everywhere you go, there's not a hint of like aggression or ugliness, which you know Joburg has a reputation for.
Sure.
People are all just enjoying, and they're beautiful girls running around with their little midriffs showing. And you know, it's pretty.
Some boys doing that too.
Yeah, well.
All right, not about you all the time. Let Gareth tell the story.
Okay, I'll pull my t-shirt down again.
Sia saw an ex and then an ex's ex. And then he started involving himself in like other couples, and Sia was busy.
The devil is busy.
Oh, the devil works hard.
So what were you doing? I mean, were you already drunk when I arrived?
No. I don't even think
Don't be embarrassed if you were.
I had you know, my drink of choice was some Red Bull and a bit of vodka. I wasn't Lindsay Lohan on the floor.
Lindsay Lohan.
But yeah, you weigh about 37 and here you are drinking vodka Red Bull in the sun.
But I mean,
you roll the dice.
You can't be in that sort of space and be as sober as a judge. So I just was spacing my drinks out the entire afternoon.
So you were as sober as a South African judge then.
Representing Judge Masipa in all of this. And so I was socializing in our little section, and out of the corner of my eye, my heart sunk as soon as I saw this ex of mine. And I thought, okay, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And as much as I am a petty person, I don't like to make things intentionally awkward. So I see that he's walking up and he'll have to walk past our group of people. And so I already brace myself. And just as he's close enough, I turn around and I say, oh, hi. And he had the audacity to just give me a glance and carry on walking. So now it's like, it's clear he doesn't want to talk to me.
That's cold.
He ignored me, and then he was walking with like 3 friends, and they all walked past me as well. So now I thought, oh, shucks, okay, this is really bad.
In really unrelated news, some guy has tires slashed at Nazareth.
Totally unrelated news. And I don't really judge him. Maybe I'm not his favorite person, so I just pass it off. And later on in the evening, I then bump into his ex.
Oh.
And this is when I know that, like, okay, clearly, like, I'm not Jesus's favorite either. And then I saw them a little later in the evening. They weren't together, but then I started seeing them talk. So my ex and his ex were now socializing and talking. Oh, so
they both hate you now. They both hate you. They were both saying, did you see Sia?
Mm. Oh. And all I could think about was, I'm looking so sweaty. I don't have cologne on. Can I just at least look put together? That didn't work out. I was like, should I call him? Should I not? Should I text him? Should I?
There's always drama at these things. You see like a couple and then the girl storms off or the guy storms off. There's always one of these situations, you know?
I'm so glad I'm over all of this. I know,
but, but it's, I mean, it's interesting to watch just from a human experiment point of view. I don't get bored with that kind of thing because it's, if you're not in it and you're not of it, you can have fun and you can just observe like you're a satellite. You don't have to take part in any of it. And listen, I think it's all about who you go with. If you go with a nice crowd of people and you know a few people there, then it's really great.
True.
In any situation, you can go to the shittiest place in the world. If you're with nice people, you'll have fun. And if you go to the nicest place in the world with shitty people, you'll have a bad time.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true for a holiday. It's true for everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm glad I did it. And it was a lot of fun. I also had a 30th birthday party on Friday that I had to go to.
Oh, goodness me.
Had a busy weekend.
30th.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. I found drug paraphernalia on my car.
What do you mean?
What?
And I'm wondering how many people ended up going to this.
Oh, the weed expo.
Yeah.
I saw a big billboard for that on the highway as well.
It was very well advertised, but, you know.
When you said drug paraphernalia on your car, I thought like someone had left their heroin syringe.
Jeez, me too.
cocaine laced dildo.
Well, that's what I was worried about because I parked in the street in my neighborhood and I came out and this was on my car and I was like, oh, quickly, before the police see you, take it off. That was my first
reaction.
You're
such a nerd. That's hilarious. Yeah, I didn't hear much more about it, but I saw the ads. The Grow Up Expo.
Yeah, and that was in Sandton.
Yeah, this is like the second expo of its kind in the past couple of months. So clearly all of these people are just...
Yeah, I saw on one of my friend's Insta stories, because he was obviously there, he posted these things about this new cannabis energy drink, which looks interesting.
I saw that being sold...
Like vodka and Red Bull.
Oh.
Hey!
But you know why vodka and Red Bull is not such a great idea, Sia?
Why?
I learned this early on, right? If you have... One, it's okay. You're not going to feel the effects too dramatically.
Please don't tell me like my arteries or
something. No. So Red Bull is a stimulant. So it obviously gets your heart rate up. Uh-huh. And if you have too many Red Bulls, you can technically have a heart attack. Mm. But you need a lot. And a lot of people who have Red Bulls have huge problems sleeping after they've had more than three or four. So you got to be super careful about that.
Should have seen me on Sunday morning waking up.
Vodka does the other thing. Vodka slows your heart rate down, and it's a melancholic thing. It's more kind of chilled. So the two in combination, not so good for you.
That's why you were Tigger bouncing off the walls.
Yeah. I thought he was high on something, but he wasn't. Because I could see his eyes were normal. Jesus, there were some people walking around with big fucking eyes.
Oh, damn, sure.
Okay. Some of them look like owls,
to put it mildly.
And that wasn't because they're from Delmas.
No.
No.
There are some very funny looking people there. But it was really good. I mean, I've always wanted to see some of these performers. I mean, Martin Garrix, who I'm actually going to see next week when I'm in Europe.
Your trip is coming up.
And the Chainsmokers were amazing.
Oh, I can imagine.
There are a few people, you know, they're those purists who will say, oh no, they should have done this or they should have done that. They've got their whole idea of how it's going to go in their head and then it doesn't turn out that way and they're upset. But they were terrific. I thought they were great. I've been a fan of the Chainsmokers for a long, long time. They've got some great songs and it was nice. So yeah.
I think this was my first...
And I got into the crowd. I was not... My usual...
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't,
No,
I wasn't the usual agoraphobic, don't touch me, irritated me. I was nice and chilled because I was with good people. And we went right into the middle, stood on that kind of center line where the cables go to the control box at the back.
What?
It's also a great way to find people. If you get lost, then you know where you are.
Mm.
And yeah, we were right in the middle there. I was there for most of the time. It was fantastic.
Oh, no. No.
I don't want to sit like you did in VVIP the whole time. Clutching your pearls every time something cool happens on the stage.
Do you know how crowded I felt just being in VIP? Oh my. Just the bourgeoisie. I couldn't do that. No.
Stop it. It's nice to be able to have the option of going to both, but you don't miss... I mean, you can't just stay there on the balcony the whole time, Sia.
Yes, you can. And yes, I do.
So you didn't leave there?
No.
Didn't go into the crowd once?
No.
You didn't get any feeling of that? I mean, Ben, come on. When you used to go to these things, that's the point.
Yeah, you've got to
get a feeling for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not to me.
But to see his point that he doesn't want to go and get sweaty and see more exes. Look, I think it's always nice to have a base when you go to parties. So the VVIP.
Thanks, Ben, you get me.
That's essential because that's your base, right? Yeah. You don't always want to be out in pleb, you know, plebistan. You want to like tap into it, like if you want it.
Tap in, eh?
Tap into it, but like, otherwise, no.
There were so many stages there. I think 4 or 5, and Black Coffee was playing at one of them. And also, it's the idea of, really not to sound all pompous, but there's so much going on. And I wanted to go and watch Black Coffee at one of the stages. I'm like, I'm actually not going to risk it. There's just tons of people there, and then you'll get lost, and nah. Just couldn't.
But were you on a solo mission? You didn't arrive with people and leave with people?
No, I did. Okay. Yeah.
You just abandoned them. No, you had VIP and you left them outside in the crowd.
No, we were all in there, so it was fine.
Because that wouldn't surprise me if you told all your friends, okay, right, guys, you go and enjoy.
Oh, Sia would drop his friends very for sure. quickly for
and
VIP.
Said, I've always said, if Sia was suddenly very, very rich, we'd never hear from him again. Yes. He would abandon us as quickly as...
The countdown.
Oh, yeah.
Just wait for it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. He wouldn't care a damn.
Ooh, cunty.
Totally.
That's my middle name.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend.
So Ben caught up on The Bachelor.
Yeah, you know people say that they're like a guilty pleasure, and I've never kind of got that because I never watched Twilight or The Kardashians. They're always just shit to me.
Hmm.
But The Bachelor is actually, it really
it's
is. Like
that for you.
It's just so...
It's just shit to me.
It was, but The Bachelor is just so... It is what it is. It's just so unashamedly average. And the comments and the lines, like, it's just so good.
Well, Sir Echelon says, ultimate Bachelor plot twist. On the last episode, none of the girls win. The Bachelor confesses he's gay and ends up giving a final rose to the presenter of the show and admits that they've been hooking up the whole time. They live happily ever after.
Guys, where does
That's
this
so
gay
2019,
thing...
I don't know.
Where That's does so this gay thing come from? I might have the worst gay dar in the world, but I haven't picked up anything.
Always want to throw shade anywhere they can.
I think it's also a very South African thing. As soon as a man is intelligent, dresses well, well-spoken...
Oh, he must be a morphe, eh?
Yeah. He's gay. You've got to just...
And it's not his fault that everything...
Roll with the punches.
Yeah, unfortunately,
he's got a nice handwriting. Yeah, if he can write.
That is a South African problem. And it comes from, like... Look, if I even admit that I don't like watching rugby, which I have admitted in polite company before, and then they kind of look at you... As if there's you're diseased.
Yeah,
something wrong with you.
Yep.
I don't get it.
So if you, and then you look at the refinement of some European countries where having all those traits is really desirable and it's seen as something good.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a hangover from like 40 years of apartheid.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're with the manvius. You got to wear two-tone khaki.
Boer soek vrou.
Yeah, you got to be like an ape. You've got to kind of shout and scream and hit other people as often as you can. You've got to only express passion for two things. Drinking and rugby. Nothing else is acceptable. And if you black soccer rules. And drinking. Yeah. And if you, but they're more or less the same. They kind of overlap. And then there's a lot of like, the more womanizing you can be, the more you treat women like shit, the more of a man you are. That's Jeez. A very South African thing. No, it is. And here's a show where this guy comes out dressed in a tux half the time.
Oh, you don't want to use the phrase come out.
Okay, fair enough. He walks onto the set every time in a tux. And most of the guys watching this and calling him names are guys who've never worn a tux in their life. They wear shorts to a wedding, for example. And they're trying to find something to criticize. I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't get that vibe from him either, but what the hell do I know?
And it's not his fault that most episodes start in a... slow-mo dip in the pool.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think that's the case. It's just that when you're watching something like The Bachelor, people always have to throw shit.
Well, look at the girls, how much shit they're picking up.
Yeah.
You know, they're all developing their hate crew already. There's like groups of people on social media. And it is getting ratings, this show. So we're not off the mark here by talking about it every week. It's getting ratings. And those girls, some of them are very popular and some of them are hugely unpopular with different crowds, you know. Anyway, loads of stuff to talk about today. There are
more
so
on The
many
Bachelor
things.
On Friday.
Yes, we'll save it for Friday.
This week, we shall all make a concerted effort to watch on.
I'll get it right. I think this week we must talk about who our favorite top three girls are and why. There's our Thursday homework.
Okay. We can do that.
make a note of it.
Anthea's coming in a little later on with the money shot. We have lots to talk about in respect of Leaving Neverland, the Michael Jackson documentary, which is getting a lot of attention.
Oh, yes.
Is that when Oprah's just trying to, like,
that's right,
round up them skeletons again?
Well, the special is airing Monday evening.
Oprah's mean.
In the US.
Oprah's witch hunt.
Your people are saying Oprah's cancelled now after this.
And yeah. And we're going to talk about Leanne's cousin, who spends a lot of time in the medical space building assholes. Yes, building actual assholes. We have so many questions that she's the only one who can answer them, so yeah. We'll talk to her. And then we've also got some other fun things from Monday, because we thought we'd put you in a good mood today. So all of that and more on the way. Shall we get into the five things?
Sure.
Yes.
Let's do it a little earlier so that Ben doesn't have to rush his sport. I hate doing that, Tim. All right. Uh-huh. So first things first. You know, this Cape Town, they've had such problems with their trains. You know, the rail enforcement unit that they've established?
No, just, they've had to, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just to arrest people who are participating in cable theft, who are damaging trains. There's a lot of arson. So what they've done is they've arrested four people for offences including cable theft in Bishop, Levis, Athlone, and Manenberg. The city's J.P. Smith said the passenger rail agency's protection services and police collaborated in six joint operations. 26 vagrants who set up illegal structures along the railway have been removed. Some of the suspects who were arrested may well be prosecuted in terms of the Criminal Matters Amendment Act, which provides for very strict bail and harsh prison sentences.
Where do these vagrants get taken to when they're plucked off the street?
To the police cells, and then obviously they will be sent to jail if they've got a trial. They'll be sent to prison. So they could face even longer in prison if the trial does not go their way, obviously. So that's big news in Cape Town, because the Cape rail network is hardly reliable, and it's not because the people who are running it don't know what they're doing. It's because there are people stealing stuff and getting in the way and actually causing damage to the trains. In Joburg, not to be left out of bad news, Joburg, no. Three senior citizens between the ages of 70 and 83 were killed in a car crash near Fochville in Gauteng on Sunday, while three other adults were injured. A Mercedes SUV collided with a bus on the N12 in the late afternoon. Paramedics, as well as provincial services and the fire department, were on the scene at 5 p.m. to find two men aged 70 and 83, as well as a 72-year-old woman, had suffered multiple injuries and were declared dead on the scene. Ugh.
Mm.
Horrible story.
Lots of accidents lately. Big
always,
ones.
Doesn't it always bother you? I mean, like, maybe it's unfair and I don't know. I don't put too much thought into this, but when people talk about children and old people, I feel more sorry for the people in the stories than I do if someone in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
But that's, people do generally drive like assholes. When we were driving back yesterday, there's always that storm when you come back from Mpumalanga. And like, you couldn't see more than 10 meters because the rain was so drivingly hard. Yet some people, they just carry on driving. Same speed, no issues.
Yep. Just take it easy. I mean, especially when it's raining. Bill Cosby may be behind bars, but his legal troubles are far from over.
Oh, Uncle Bill.
It's been reported Cosby has been slept with
many people they just don't remember.
He's been slapped with another lawsuit by one of his accusers while he is still serving his prison sentence. 28-year-old Chloe Goines first accused Cosby in 2016 of drugging and sexually abusing her during a party at the Playboy Mansion in 2008 when she was 18 years old.
Oh.
Yes, sis. Bill's denied the claims.
Has he had any visitors yet from his family or anything?
I don't think any of them been to visit.
You know, I think for once this is when Bill's actually told the truth, because he basically raped so many women, he doesn't actually remember.
He doesn't remember,
and he's old with his glaucoma eye. He doesn't actually remember anymore. Mm.
It's all a misty, hazy, unclear memory to him.
Just like his vision, misty, hazy, unclear.
Yeah, the different girls all blend into one. Mm. He's not sure he's done anything. Yeah, he's being honest, but he was not honest at the time. An administration clerk for the police in Giani has been arrested for allegedly demanding a bribe. The Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, that's the Hawks in Polokwane, said on Sunday. 43-year-old who worked in human resources was responsible for recruitment and allegedly demanded a 10,000 rand bribe from an applicant in order to process an application. See, people are so desperate in this country to get a job that they will bribe whoever they have to bribe. In other words, they'll find money they don't have to get a job they don't deserve so that they can get some more money back in. Mm. That shows you how desperate people are. And I mean, it's not good or bad. It's just very sad. It's obviously bad when bribes are paid. And it's obviously bad when bribes are offered. But I don't know where to start with things like this. I heard some horrifying stories. I was talking to some friends over the weekend, people in manufacturing. There is a guy who started a business, and let me just read this to you. Okay. He started with 5 employees. Within 10 days, there were 300 men camped outside the factory for a job. Hmm. And he claims his workforce cannot say how many days there are in a year. They don't know how many days there are in a year. 80% of them cannot count to 20. So we have people, again, who are unemployable. If you can't count beyond 20, how much use do you have, even in a manufacturing job? You know, if you're producing 100,000 articles of something in a week, you can't count up to 100,000 if you can't count up to 20. You're in big trouble. 80% of this guy's staff in his factory couldn't count to 20. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
That sounds unreal.
And then one other guy said in the same conversation that his father had started a business and he used to have people begging him for a job for about 2 years. When he eventually hired one or two of these people, they joined the union 2 weeks later and went on a go slow.
Oh.
So it seems almost like South African employment is actually welfare masquerading as employment.
Mm.
You know? It's just kind of bizarre. Like, this stuff is happening. So when you hear about people taking bribes and making bribes for a job, this is not too far from the reality for so many. And then the story that I'm not going to ever let go of because it just doesn't warrant us ignoring is the Life Estimeni. And at least 5 Life Estimeni patients have been located while 16 others are still unaccounted for. How do people disappear off the system? It was announced by Health MEC Dr. Gwen Ramakgopa on Sunday. The 5 were among 21 patients who were discharged from Life Estimeni in 2015 and 2016. It's 2019 and these people have not been found.
No,
they just disappeared. Now, first of all, you have to ask yourself, what kind of families do they come from where their families haven't asked over 5 years where they were?
Maybe they have.
And if they have asked and the department can't tell you where they are, it's as bad. So apparently the department had struggled to locate the patients due to poor record keeping. You don't say. I'm encouraged by the progress that Dr. Quibi Murray and her team are making, and we reaffirm our determination to continue working relentlessly and leave no stone unturned, doing all in our power, blah, 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 says Ramakgopa in a statement. According to the Gauteng Health Department's own records, there were 55 mental health care patients who were still at large in January 2018.
Jeez.
The number has been reduced to 16 by this year, following joint efforts between various stakeholders. A total of 144 psychiatric patients died after the Department of Health in Gauteng transferred them from Life Estimeni to unlicensed NGOs. Don't forget that story. It's not going away. We're not going to forget about it. Irritates the hell out of me that we still have to talk about it every other day, but this is necessary. And it's not getting any better for a lot of these people. That's the ones who are still alive, who are lucky enough to make it. All right, well, that's all we've got in the news today. Let's get to Ben. By the way, the Bitcoin is at $3,783, Ethereum $129. Ben, what have you got for us?
Gareth, Roger Federer gets to 180p tour titles. The Proteas get back to winning ways against Sri Lanka. And a very interesting weekend of Super Rugby results.
Okay.
Yes, Roger Federer. He beat Tsitsipas in the end of the Dubai ATP World something, something, something. So there's 100 titles. How amazing is that, right? 100 titles. His most prolific years were 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. There, he won 11 titles in 2004.
Sure.
11 titles in 2005, 12 in 2006, and 8 in 2007. He really was on fire. But Roger, of course, his big thing is that his longevity, it's still there.
Oh, yeah, he's still doing okay.
Well, look, he's my age, and there he is beating Tsitsipas, who's like 18. 6-4, 6-4. So he's won 100. But can you tell me who has won more than Roger Federer? Who has won more ATP titles than Roger Federer?
Can't be Rafael Nadal.
No.
Who?
Rafael Nadal.
No, not yet.
Is it someone from a long time ago?
Pretty much, yeah.
Boris Becker.
Andre Agassi.
No.
Ivan Lendl.
No. Look, if you add all the titles together, maybe. But no, Jimmy Connors. 109 titles.
Wow. Okay.
Jimmy being a smug old git. Said, well done, Roger. Welcome to the Triple Digit Club. It's been lonely here. Yeah, 109. That is quite something, though. I totally forgot that Jimmy Connors with his left arm was that good. But yeah, he was. 109 titles. Any chance for Roger getting to that? I bloody doubt it. I really do. He's 37. And to win another 8, 9, 10, no, it's not going to work. But still, 100 titles. That really is amazing. Martina Navratilova, who had some really outspoken yet logical remarks around transgendering, she has been forced, well, guilted no doubt, into apologizing for the comments that she made. She says, absolutely ludicrous, the fact that men can become women, compete in women's sport, win, and then go back to being men. Totally, Martina, it's absolute batshit crazy. But because
I'm so much more of a fan of Martina for standing up for this. I mean, this is a woman who broke the mold in the 1970s and 80s when she rose to the top of the tennis rankings. She came out there as a lesbian. It was probably a very, very difficult move to make in those days, let alone in professional sport. You know, as a private citizen, it would have been tough enough. And Martina Navratilova was a great athlete and a woman of principle. And I think she did an enormous amount for the LGBTQ community long before she got into trouble with them for not being left enough.
Exactly.
Now they've turned their backs on her and she's being pilloried.
Yep, she won 18 Grand Slam titles, but now she's been branded as transphobic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's also been dropped as the ambassador for the Athlete Ally Group, which campaigns for LGBT QS RF in rights and sports.
Oh, Ben.
But like, it's just bollocks, you know. Martina, you stand your ground. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. People are literally changing their sex so they can do better in a sport because they were so shit in their original sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't have to get into a transgender debate in this show, but I think we all know, we see more and more nowadays, it's absolute bullshit. But yeah, Martina's have to say sorry because she doesn't want to get offended. Or she doesn't want to offend
people.
So
has she said sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She has to.
So you have to back down to these lunatics. These people are so extreme that if you don't apologize, and then, by the way, when you apologize, they just smell blood and want to keep attacking you.
Yeah.
They don't actually care about your apology. It's all about them seeming more virtuous than you.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're horrible people. These are not people who are genuinely into trans rights. These are people who are trying to position themselves ever more to the left of the person before them. And what they do is they drag everything down with them. They want to destroy everything.
Yeah. Well said. Yes, that's tennis. Well, weekend of tennis that was. Oh, and that Kyrgios guy won in Mexico.
Well, does that irritate people?
No, it's just... Yeah.
Kyrgios.
Credit where credit's due. He actually won a tournament, but he's still a dipstick. So South Africa got back to winning ways. They beat Sri Lanka quite comfortably in front of a very piss-poor crowd at the Wanderers yesterday. South Africa got 232 for 2 in response to Sri Lanka's 231. Ngidi and Imran Tahir, they were pretty good with the ball. And then Quinton Akok and Faf du Plessis, they brought it home with the bat. Faf scoring 100. And that was, well, it was pretty routine. But it was not routine. It's always great to watch. Of course, as I keep saying, England, the cricket team, is so entertaining. Uh-huh. They scored like 418 in the fourth ODI. In the fifth and final ODI, they were bowled out for 113.
Sure.
What made it even more exciting is that the West Indies then got that in all of 12.1 overs. Yeah, Chris Gayle, 77 runs off 27 balls. 4 5-4s, 9 6s. Absolutely incredible effort. So the series is drawn 2-2. And with all series that are played this year, everyone's like, well, what does that do for the World Cup chances of these teams? Like, I think what it comes down to is that, yes, England's exciting. They definitely do roll the dice. But I think this team just becomes, they get too unraveled. And their bowling attack really can't contain other attacks. Their batting's exciting, though. West Indies, on the other hand, well, with a resurgent Chris Gayle, they could be very, very dangerous in this World Cup. Like, genuine, for reals, though. in the football. There was Arsenal's big chance to really stick it up Spurs. Now, I realize that in recent years, Spurs have now got the upper hand in Arsenal. They finish above them in the log, and they still play Champions League from time to time. Well, Arsenal, they had an early lead. Harry Kane then got a dubious penalty back, and then Arsenal had a penalty to wrap it up at the end, and they absolutely bottled it. So they draw 1-1 there. It's a bit sad. Man United beat Southampton 3-2. Bournemouth, they hosted Man City, and they did pretty well for themselves, although Man City did get the eventual goal, so they won that one 1-0. And then yesterday, Chelsea, oh, they're having a tough time with things at the moment, aren't they? But they managed to win 2-1 away from Fulham against Fulham. Something that Liverpool wish they had done in the Merseyside derby against Everton, they drew 0-0. With many now saying that, well, Liverpool are becoming too cautious on the road. Of course, they were top. Man City's now gone ahead of them. But now, that's the thing. When you got to win, you've still got to be attacking. You've still got to be positive. You've still got to be your best the whole time. You can't consolidate anything. And I think that's ultimately going to be their downfall. But then again, we called it so much later. Earlier. We called this like 3 months ago. Super Rugby. Wow, what an interesting thing this is on the background. Friday, the Hurricanes, they play against the Brumbies. Now, the Brumbies absolutely slaughtered the Chiefs the week before. Hurricanes 43, Brumbies 13. Yeah, tough one to pick this one. Rebels, they played the Highlanders at home and they won 24-19. Sure, but it gets even more outrageous from there. The Chiefs at home to the Sunwolves. They'd lost 15-30. I don't know what's happened with the Chiefs. They're all just drinking heavily on a Friday night, but this is terrible. Two thrashings in a row. But the Sunwolves, they won in New Zealand for the first time ever. Absolutely amazing result, that. The Reds predictably went down to the Crusaders, 12-22. And then the Lions, heavily favoured SA team who lost to the Stormers the round previous to this, they then got hammered by the Bulls. The Bulls won 30-12. And the Sharks also favoured to beat the Stormers. Stormers beating them 16-11. In a match that, let's be honest, was about as ugly as... Well, let's just say it was ugly. Not great rugby from the Stormers, but they just have this physicality and they will grind you down. That's what they do. They grind you down. So, 16-11. Robbie Fleck gets two wins out of two ever since that drubbing at the Bulls. So, he'll have a bit more flexibility. Now he can go back and drink with his mates and not feel the stress like he was a couple of weeks ago. And then the Hagwarath, they beat the Blues 23-19 in Hagwarath country. Yeah, that was pretty much it for the weekend. Right. Not a whole bunch of interesting sport. There was, Roger's 100, basically. He did. That was the most important thing. All right. 100 titles.
Happy to take that one.
100 titles for Roger Federer.
It's quite a lot.
Such a nice guy. And you know, he started his career as a bit of a dick. He had, like, massive temper tantrums.
Really?
Serious discipline issues. Because he was like this...
Sort of like Anthea.
Yeah, very much like Anthea,
Big so temper much like tantrums,
Anthea.
Yeah.
And then you look at Anthea now, it's kind of like where Roger Federer is now.
Calm,
collected, cool, insightful, yeah. Very good at their job.
When Anthea was younger, she was impossible to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that?
Spoken to people who knew you.
Oh.
All right. Ooh. Thank you, Ben. That's the sport. Here is Anthea with All Your Money.
Hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She was hard. So you better treat her right. She was hurt for the money. So hurt for it, honey. She was hurt for the money. So you better treat her right.
That's right. Here she is. Anthea Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
By the way, Anthea sent us this this very well-prepared list of things that we're going to talk about this morning on Friday.
So Friday, Nochal.
Raring to go.
Can you tell I was bored on Friday? I was so not in the mood for working.
All right, so where do we begin?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. So on the macro side, the trade and budget balance came out last week, and it's not looking good, I'm afraid. It's all deficit. We're all in the red. So the trade balance registered a deficit of 13.1 billion rand. Oof. Basically, we imported more than we exported.
Not good. So, you want to be a country that exports more than you import.
That's right, because exports are revenue and imports are costs. So exports declined by 13.1% month on month, while imports increased by 18.9%. Then on the budget balance, because we've been talking about the budget for weeks now, January recorded a deficit of 60.3 billion rand. So the cumulative financial year to date is now 223.4 billion rand. Pretty much on target, though, for the revised budget that we saw a couple of weeks ago. So not the old one where we were hoping
that things wouldn't be this bad.
So in other words, we lowered our... All we did was lower our expectations.
Basically, yeah. Yes, exactly.
We went up to the buffet and said, oh, well, we'll have that dry old piece of steak and that lamb chop that looks like it's been there for about 6 weeks, and that'll be a good meal.
There you go. But on a positive note, though, producer price inflation eased to 4.1%. So we normally talk about consumer price inflation, which is the one that we feel, but the underlying obviously is what the producer sees and passes on to us or is able to pass on to us. And they generally do move in tandem, and that's great because really if the producer price inflation is easing to 4.1%, it means that CPI won't be as bad. And again, it really is the fuel, transport, equipment. I guess the dovish Fed would have something to do with it. So, you know, people are not looking for a higher interest rate. But mostly, it's the fact that oil's come down and the fuel prices come down so significantly.
All right, let's talk about Elon Musk, who's becoming a problem for people who are trying to run their businesses and improve their share price.
Oh, what is wrong with our boy? He's
had another week of weird stuff happening. And
yeah, but he must just get off of social media. You know,
he was using alien emojis. Yeah. And
social media is really not for smart people anymore. It used to be. It's not anymore. Get off. If you've got serious things to do in the world, get off of social media.
It's interesting. You know, there's a part of me.
She agrees with me. I know she does.
I do agree. But there's a part of me when it comes to Elon Musk that says, even though he really is being a pain, and basically what happened last week was that the SEC said, Elon Musk, we came to an agreement where you would not tweet private information. You run a listed company. You cannot be disseminating information that will impact on your share price. Obviously, right?
Yeah.
Because you want a fair market. If you're holding Tesla shares and I'm holding Tesla shares and Elon says something that'll make the share price go down and only one of us gets the information and has a chance to sell out, then it's really not fair. Or the other way around, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that says that the electric car market wouldn't be as far as it is and that big companies actually wouldn't have gone to the effort if Elon didn't have some impact on it. And part of it is his bullshit kind of look at me, I'm doing great things on social media kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
so you got to take the good with the bad.
I guess so.
But there are rules. Rules is rules. Yeah. And you cannot give insider information out and you cannot share information that isn't released in the company results or the prospectus or what the shareholders exactly. already know, what potential investors already can access information-wise. Otherwise, you're playing with the price.
Yeah, and at one stage he goes, oh, we're going to deliver 500,000 cars in 2019. And then a few hours later he goes, oh, sorry, that's only 400,000. That's huge. That's 20% change in revenue right there.
He doesn't need to tweet.
Rubbish
he can
like
be,
that, right?
He can be the guy he is. He can lead from the front. He can do all the things that he's doing, revolutionize the whole transport industry. Do all of that, but you don't need to be boasting about it. Let other publications pick up on the story, come and interview you, blah, blah, blah. Just go through the normal channels. There is too much danger involved.
True.
Your downside is much bigger than your upside when you're dealing with social media.
That's true. And then on individual shares, I mean, it was an interesting week. You know, it was quite volatile. We had lots of politics again. We had the collapse of the denuclearization summit between U.S. and North Korea. We had U.S.-China trade talks. Brexit still lingering. So markets
Brexit.
Were all...
Bloody Brexit.
Bloody Brexit. Lingering Brexit. Still going on. But I see this morning, Asian markets are trading higher because of yesterday or the day... No, it was yesterday when Trump said that he was looking forward to finalizing deals with China and going easy on
the
tariffs.
Great deal maker. I'm the greatest deal maker. I do deals. That's what I wrote a book called The Art of the Deal.
It's the best book ever.
Best book about deals. What you need is a president who makes deals.
There you go.
And walks away from the table with Kim Jong-un. But some people are saying that that's actually a good move. It shows that he wasn't going to fold and cave to all Kim's demands and you know, U.S. is standing its ground and he's not going to give concessions that he doesn't want to give.
I'm no political analyst and I'm certainly not his psychology. Like, I'm not going to try and understand it.
All right.
I'm
well,
over,
let's
I'm
leave
over
it
him.
Let's leave it. So, our all share index started the year at 51,264. Now it's at 56,331. So it's a little bounce.
Yeah, we've had a decent run of it. I'm kind of surprised because we've had quite a bit of bad news, but I think that's more to do with the commodities. So if you look at Impala Platinum, Anglo American, Impala Platinum's up like 35% or something ridiculous this year alone. That's 2 months. Mm. So yeah, we've had a great run in the commodity sector, which really has offset all the bad news in really the retailers, a little bit of bad news in the banks. So yeah, and you know it's earnings reporting season, so we're all very busy analyzing shares at the moment. There's so many. I'll just touch on the very like kind of big important ones. Oh, and of course, MultiChoice listed last week.
How did that go? Excitement? Mm.
Yeah, it was. So it started off at 15% higher on Wednesday, which was quite nice and quite a surprise, and then kind of drew back a bit as people realized what was going on. Started with a market cap of 42 billion rand.
Wow.
And the CEO really talking about how they're planning to aggressively grow the number of pay TV subscribers in the rest of Africa, so anything outside of South Africa. He says he's just got so much runway, you know, he wants to grow from 14 million to 44 million subscribers by 2022. And he's got a point, because pay TV is underrepresented and his competition is streaming. But we just in Africa don't have the internet that is required, or the fast and cheap internet that is required for streaming services. That's what I think. So he may be onto something. And of course, then ICASA came out as well saying that the company, MultiChoice, had jumped the gun with their JSE listing because they don't have a broadcasting license. The broadcasting license was actually awarded to Naspers. So MultiChoice might actually have a little bit of a problem if you're wanting to watch this show.
Bureaucrats injecting themselves into private business again.
Yeah.
So you don't have a license. There isn't a piece of paper that's been signed by six politicians.
Can they not just issue a license? Eh?
Yeah.
Can they not just negotiate, issue, and off you go?
I mean, what's going to change? It's the same group of people. It's the same business. It's just been taken out and unbundled from the group.
And the private company moves faster than this big institution.
Of course.
Right? So,
when have you ever not expected that from a bureaucracy?
Okay, fair enough.
All right, let's talk about a few of the shares. Sasol.
Okay, so they reported just 6 months, so half yearly. Not much new information in the result. Sasol's down 1.7% year to date, so it really has underperformed the Rand oil price, not the dollar oil price, the Rand oil price, which is up about 20.6% year to date. And I think in large part, people are worried about Sasol's projects being delivered on time. They've got this huge Lake Charles chemical project in the US, which is delayed by, it's like I think 18 months already, and it's still not finished. Huge budget overruns. And so I think investors are just having this kind of wait and see approach to see whether they're able to ramp it up. I mean, at spot valuation, we get 524 Rand per share, which is still 25% upside from Friday's close of 428 or wherever that was. So there's a lot of upside in the share. Sasol just needs to get this Lake Charles and its other massive projects going, so that because that's the only, I think that's what's holding the share price back.
ShopRite?
They put out a cautionary saying they'd entered into exclusive in-principle discussions with Tybalt and its shareholders. Any guesses who Tybalt is?
Christo Visser.
Well done. Yeah. So, you know, the structure there is that he has a lot of shares, obviously, but his shares have a heavier weight when it comes to voting rights. So they now want to negate that process. In fact, the JSE have been fighting quite vociferously about companies having unequal voting rights in shares. So each person with one share, basically, they want to have one share. Makes it easier for takeovers, like equal voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a protective measure against takeovers or from that. But so that's really the big news on ShopRite. Then the JSE resulted. The biggest news there was, I think, that they announced a special dividend of 185 cents on top of their 6.55 dividend, normal annual dividend to shareholders. So
very
exciting.
Good.
Yes. We do like cash in hand.
Sure.
But it's still been a difficult year for them. It hasn't been going that well. Total revenue increased by 1% to 2.28 billion rand. No, these numbers are huge, right?
Very big. Very big.
But they managed to hold fairly strict control over operating costs, which meant that the earnings number, not the revenue number, earnings number was up by 8%. So this earnings number is, you know, after tax and depreciation, all that nonsense. And then headline earnings per share, which is what we really care about, because that's the way for investors to kind of compare oranges and oranges, was up 6%. So not terrible, not great.
We'll take those returns at this stage.
Technology's definitely paying off for them.
Right.
And then the last thing I have to mention is that Time Bank launched last week. Henry.
Yes, T-Y-M-E.
T-H-Y. Or is it T-Y?
Oh, well, you see, we can't even decide. I
have not typed this out. Right. Come on.
T-Y-M-E. Yes.
Is that Patrice Motsepe?
Yes, that's African Rainbow Investments, so it's very exciting. And the funny thing is, Time has just come to market. It hasn't just come to market. Everyone's only noticing it now, but it's actually been going for like 10 or 12 years.
Oh, who knew?
Exactly, right? So it's not like overnight. Henry was so excited because he watched somebody at the launch go from zero to having a bank card in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Hmm. Opening an account in 3 minutes, 30 seconds, that's including amazing. Getting your bank card.
So we've got to keep an eye on them.
I would keep an eye on them,
They seem definitely looking at their marketing. They're trying to appeal to a younger South Africa.
Hmm. Yeah, the current tagline is, it's time for a bank that looks at who you are, not what you have.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's see. Anthe, of course, only looks at what you have.
She's only interested in the money.
Don't talk shit to her.
Job.
All right. Thank you very much, Anthea. Very nice.
Thanks, guys.
It's time for Said by Sia. What do you got for us, Sia?
Well, how many people have we had in studio here who've achieved amazing, amazing things? They've won awards galore, and then they say, actually, all of the awards are just sitting in a box somewhere?
Oh, Leanne does that all the time. Mm, every award.
Warehouses of awards.
That's what it is, yes. Well, there's
one... She never looks at them or dusts them off.
There's one legendary basketball player. His name is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Mm, and he... You guys seriously don't know who he is?
I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was a huge star in the like late 90s.
Yes, played in the NBA.
He was like 7 foot.
Oh. Yeah, he played in the NBA for 20 years. He's the MVP. He won the MVP more than 6 times. He was a 19-time All-Star player. He set NBA records. And all of this galore, he has so many pieces of like championship rings and awards. And he says, but what am I really doing with all of this? You know, it's all good and well, and I achieved all of this, but it's not doing me anything.
I have to build another room in the house for this.
Yeah, not at all.
Fuck Marlies.
Fuck Marlies. So he actually said, there could be something bigger and better that I'm doing with this. And so he's decided to put all of his memorabilia and awards on auction. Oh. And for all of the money to go to helping young children learn more about STEM. You know, that's the science technology, engineering, and mathematics subjects. He says that's more important than all of these things just collecting dust in my house.
Good
so
for him.
That's quite admirable. And they're all going towards his Skyhook Foundation. That's his foundation that he started with a mission to, listen to this, give kids a shot that can't be blocked. Haha, get it? Basketball shot. So it's actually quite cool. He put all of these on auction and they've now raked up almost $3 million. That's going straight to helping kids with education. There were more than 234 lots of memorabilia and awards, including basketball, actual balls that he signed, and of course, like his championship rings from his time that he was playing. His one ring that he got in 1987 sold for more than $398,000.
Jeez, that's good.
So people are willing to pay good money for all of this.
Well, I think that's really smart of him. And who knew? I mean, that stuff does lie around and gather dust. And who cares, you know? And if there are people out there who want it and are willing to pay for it, you can send the money to someone who deserves it.
I think it's a win-win situation for everyone. He's saying, you know, I'd rather let me help out than all of this just clogging up space. And then there'll be kids who'll now be able to do amazing things because they'll be learning more in engineering, math, technology, and science. So kudos to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for what he's doing. And that's just advice here for this morning.
Mm, very good.
All right, some news on the way. We'll do lots of interesting things in the next while, including learn how to build an asshole. We will hear about three former circus lions who've arrived in South
exciting
Africa.
Exciting news.
Yes, an online petition to sell the Northern Cape to Namibia.
What?
Yes, and grandparents who've sent great text messages keeping up with technology like only grandparents can.
Nice.
All of that and more on the way. Plenty of good stuff for you this morning. CliffCentral.com. It is Monday.
This is CliffCentral.com.